Hey, it's so great to be with you today. My name is Sean Booth, and today I just really feel that I've got a special message for you. These last 2 weeks, I had the opportunity, probably for the first time this year, to switch off, to rest and get some relaxation. And honestly, I feel refreshed. I've spent time with the Lord, and I believe that He's given me a word for you today, for you as an individual, but also for us as a church. And so it's really great that you're being with us, because I believe that this word is going to reinvigorate you. It's going to give you a faith and a new hope, an expectation, and put a confidence into your spirit and into your soul today. So if you're watching on Facebook, hey, why don't you just help us? Press the share button, get the word out. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button. It helps us just spread the word. And also, if you're watching right now, hey, why don't you just type in the comment section, say, amen. I'm with you. I'm all in. If you're ready to go and you're ready for this word, say with me, amen. And this is one of the things I want us to do today is I really feel that this isn't just, you know, any message. This is a message that's going to speak to you and where you at in your season, in your life. So what I'd love you to do is to give me your undivided attention just for 30 minutes, undivided attention, not just to listen, you know, but to be doing stuff in the background, but really, truly listen. If you're watching on TV right now, why don't you just get your phone and put it to the side, leave all the distractions. If the kids are running wild, which is like my house right now, I imagine, you can just throw it on the iPad. Do whatever it takes. Just have some you time. If you're watching on your phone, your tablet, just press the full screen, lay it back, go get your journal, go get a pen, and take notes. Write down what you feel the Lord is speaking to you today through this word. Here's the title of my message that I want to speak to you on, is The Tide is Turning. The tide is turning. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. This really is the beginning of Jesus's public ministry. Now, just to give you some context before we dive into this today, we see that before the Old Testament has ended in the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew begins the New Testament, within that just a few pages, but in history, it is 400 years. It is called the 400 silent years, for God did not speak anything new to his people. And so we see at the end of the Old Testament, we've got the minor prophets, the major prophets, the Israelites have been led out of Babylonian captivity. They've been entered back into their own homes. They're forming their own culture again and their own lives again, their own livelihoods. And in these 400 years, the silent years, they are waiting for the promised Messiah. They are waiting for the Christ. They are waiting for God to send his Messiah to his people, the Israelites. And then after 400 years, we see that there is a voice begins to rise from the wilderness. And this voice begins to declare, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. This voice comes from John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, there is one who is coming who is powerful. Is so powerful that I am not worthy enough to tie his sandals. And he says that when he comes, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so this person is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus comes onto the scene after 30 years of private preparation, now ready to start his public ministry. And we see that he's baptized by John. He enters into the wilderness for 40 days. And then we read in verse 14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. He said these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He's saying, this is the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today is the year of the Lord's favor. Now we look at the people in which Jesus was speaking to. Those who were not just hearing his words, but those who were waiting for the Messiah. These people have been waiting for 400 years, if not many, many, many years before that. But these 400 silent years, and in their waiting, they really grasped religiosity, became so focused on the law in such a way that it was all about rituals and traditions and just keeping busy, just like we can do today. In fact, these people, they were under Roman oppression during this time. Not only that, but many of them would have been so used to abject poverty. They would have been so familiar with disease and death, with persecution and torture, with slavery and war. And yet, even in the midst of this dark time, enters Jesus, the light of the world, and he says, this is the day of the year of the Lord's favor. This is the day, he says, that Jesus will set the oppressed free. He says that Jesus will bring recovery of sight for the blind, that Jesus will set the prisoner free, the captive free, that Jesus declares and proclaims the good news to the poor. How does he do this? He proclaims the word through us. He proclaims good news through me and you. He proclaims good news to the poor in spirit, to the poor in hope, to the poor in truth, to those who are poor as searching for answers, searching for peace and desperate in their anguish for solace, for peace of mind. He says this. He says, this is the year of the Lord's favor. I want to say to you today, the tide is turning. The tide is turning. You may have experienced devastation. You may have experienced great pain. I believe that you're about to be experienced and be filled with great hope and great peace. You may have experienced great suffering and anguish and grief. I believe that even in the midst of that, God is going to fill you with his grace. He's going to fill you with his joy. You may be experiencing right now, even in this moment, great anxiety and worry and confusion. Well, I believe the Lord is going to fill you with faith and hope and a new confidence and a new assurance. The Lord can turn the tides. The Lord can turn your sorrows into joy. The Lord can turn your sin into salvation. And the Lord can turn your life into meaning. The tide is turning. The waves are building. The flood is forming. What of? A flood of the Lord's favor. A flood of the Lord's freedom in your life. A flood of the power and the presence of God in your life like never before. The swell of the wave is growing stronger and stronger. You know, in recent months, I've had numerous conversations with people who have asked me the question, is this the end? You know, we read in the book of Revelation about what's going to happen and what's going to be fulfilled. And people nervously, anxiously asking, is this the fulfillment of these scriptures? Are we beginning to see the end? You know, right now we look on the news, we look around the world, we see disaster everywhere. Floods, fires, storms, earthquakes. We see this global pandemic that has shut down the economy, that has affected millions of people, not just through the disease itself, but through the lockdowns that were enforced on us. We see that democracy is at a place that it's never been before. It feels like sometimes, often, it's falling apart. It feels like there's more division, riots, protests. They're each other, at each other, disunity and division. Is this the end? And my answer is yes and no. Yes, we are closer to the end than we've ever been before. Yes, scripture, is particularly in Revelations, talks about the labor pains that will happen in our world before the beginning of the end. And no, I don't believe that this is the end. In fact, I believe the opposite. I believe that this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the greatest outpouring of the Spirit that we have ever experienced in our lives. I believe that this is the beginning of a move of God. This is the beginning of a new flood that's going to sweep across our land and across our world, bringing in the presence of God to saturate our lives, our spirits, and our souls like never before. I believe that this is the beginning of what is called the third wave. This third wave, in which we've been familiar recently with the term wave, we know all about it. The first wave, the second wave. What is a wave? A wave is something that rises outside of our control, and when it is released, it just unleashes this devastating power that can sweep through the land so quickly, bringing disease, bringing devastation, bringing death and depression through the land. Now we see spiritually, the term wave can have a different meaning, but it can have the same implications. And what we see is that when the wave swells, when the tide turns, when it's brought back out until it builds up and the wave swells so high and then it is released and it crashes onto the land and it sweeps and the wake of everything in its wake, we see that it moves fast, it moves with momentum and exponentially. Now, the thing is, in the spiritual wave in which we're talking about, this spiritual wave, the contents of the wave do not consist of disease and death, but it brings life. It brings freedom and favor. It brings the power and the presence of God. And it's been prophesied for many years that when you look back in recent church history, that we have experienced the first wave and the second wave of revival in the 20th century. There's been many prophecies, there's been many great prophets who've prophesied this, but one in particular, his name is Smith Wigglesworth. And in 1947, Smith Wigglesworth, he prophesied that we would experience a new great revival, the third wave. He said these words beginning, he says, during the next few decades, this is back in 1947, there will be two distinct moves of the Holy Spirit across the church. The first move will affect every church that is open to receive it and will be characterized by a restoration of the baptism and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this came to pass. The first wave was known as the Charismatic Renewal and the Pentecostal movement. And this was an outpouring of the Spirit that swept throughout the traditional church, the evangelical church, and it was unleashed upon every man, woman, and child, regardless of creed, culture, socioeconomic background, and it swept across the world, turning millions to Jesus, and they experienced the power of God supernaturally. Near the end of the wave, in fact, my parents became Christians, and they started going to church. I remember they used to bring me to these prayer nights and prayer evenings when I was 7 and 8 years old, and I'd go with my colors and my pencils and my, you know, piece of paper to draw on, and I'd be sitting in the corner. If they had an upstairs, I'd be upstairs. And I remember seeing so many people all around me slain in the Spirit or experiencing great manifestation of the Spirit in all different ways and all different people. And to be honest, as a 7, 8-year-old, part of it freaked me out. But another part of it brought this deep awareness to the power of the Holy Spirit and the impact that it can have on our lives. And this spiritual wave that ran through much of the 1900s, kind of petering out at the end of the 20th century, this first wave was known as the spiritual wave. This was the wave of the Spirit of God. And Smith Wigglesworth continued. He said the second wave, or the move of the Holy Spirit, would result in people leaving historic churches and planting new churches. The second wave came in the form of the house church movement. And we've seen that this was effectively the church breaking out of the walls and into the homes as they gather together for worship and community, but particularly for hearing and studying the Word of God. This is was people from all different types of denominations within the Christian movement, even from the traditional church, leaving and setting aside their differences and their theological dichotomies behind, but coming together as one under unity for the Word of God. And this wave, it spread right throughout the world, and particularly in Ireland through the 70s, 80s, and the early 90s. We see that many people gather right across the land, even in rural areas. And there's great stories in cow sheds and barns, people coming together for the study of the Word of God. And we see in apartments and houses in suburban and urban areas. And it was unorchestrated. It was unorganized by man, but it was intentionally designed by the Lord. I've had the opportunity to meet so many Christians who came to faith through this movement, who had their faith formed through a house church, many who have come and joined other churches and joined our church. And many of these house churches became church plants, and they went from houses to warehouses. In fact, that is the story of Open Arms Church in Newbridge. It started as a house group in 1996, and it grew and it formed to become a church, now meeting in a warehouse. But what we've seen in this movement in which it happened, it was really founded by the Word of God. So we can see that it was known as a wave of the Word of God. So we had the first wave, the wave of the Spirit of God. We had the second wave, the wave of the Word of God. But we've not yet seen and experienced the third wave. Now listen to the final words of Smith Wigglesworth's prophecy. He says, in the duration of each of these moves, the people who are involved will say, this is a great revival. But the Lord says, no, neither is this the great revival, but both are steps towards it. When the new church phase is on the wane, when it's about to happen at the beginning, there will be evidence in the churches of something that is not seen before. You think we're there? Not seeing anything like this before? A coming together of these with an emphasis on the Word and those with an emphasis on the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest move of the Holy Spirit that the world has ever seen before. It will mark the beginning of a revival, not the end, but the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed. The third wave, the greatest revival that the world has ever seen before, is when the Word and the Spirit come together. When the foundation of the Word and the fluidity of the Spirit come together as one, we will see a flood of freedom and favor and the power and the presence of God released upon the Lord's people like never before through the Holy Spirit. I believe that the tide is turning. I believe that we're seeing that the waves are beginning to swell, that this is the year of the Lord's favor. And you know what, Open Arms? We want to be this church. We want to be at the forefront. We want to be ready. We want to be founded by the Word of God, and we want to be moved by the Holy Spirit. We want to be a church that has a desire to be founded on the Word of God through study and prayer and getting deep into His Word. And we want to be moved and have a desire to experience the presence of God through worship and prayer, that you and I would pursue Jesus like never before and be committed to build a church like this. The Lord has been speaking to me about this now for just over a year, and I remember so many times in which I just felt this again and again and again, and particularly about the illustration of a flood. And one day last year in prayer, God gave me a word that I just grabbed my journal and wrote down these words. And often things are private for me, and oftentimes I feel like this is the time to share with the church. And I wrote down these words: Noah built an ark in faith that a flood was coming, all because the Lord told him so. He didn't see any signs. There was no sign of a flood. There was a great drought. He was building an ark in the middle of the land. But he had a faith that a flood was coming because God told him so. And I wrote down these words: I believe that there is a flood that is going to sweep through our land. Not like the flood of old that took life away, but a flood that will give life and is going to draw people to Jesus. And so we need to build an ark to be ready for the flood. You know, that's what we've been doing as a church. We've been building an ark, ready to reach and hold thousands and thousands of people. We've taken this time and this season in particular really to prepare ourselves through strengthening our structure and our organization, through preparing our hearts and our spirits ready for what, not only for what the Lord is doing, but ready for what he will do. When this happened in March, you know, many of us thinking this could be for a few weeks, this could be for a few months. So we decided to heavily invest in our online, our production, and our community online as well, because it's not just about the service, it's about connection. And we invested in marketing and social media, and we've had the opportunity by God's grace to reach tens of thousands of people through this online ministry. We had the opportunity to be on RTE TV and through that reach tens of thousands of people. And it has been an incredibly a difficult season, one in which has caused us to be innovative, but you know what? God has given us the grace to be able to persevere through every boundary and barrier that we faced, and we've had a desire to connect with everyone in our community and to really establish and strengthen and keep a hold of our church. And we had the opportunity to provide thousands of care packs to our frontline workers back in May and June. Not only that, but we had the opportunity to promote great unity during a time of racial division and be able to be the church at the forefront of showing and expressing love and grace regardless of the color of our skin. We've prayed and fasted as a church, and prayed and fasted for you and your family and for our congregation. And then the summer came. Lockdown began to ease up, and we saw that giving began to go down. Our online attendance began to go down. So we regrouped, we regathered, and we prepared in August to open up our doors in both locations. We invested in everything it took to be able to make and provide for a safe environment. We believe that it was also a time for great expansion, in which we still do. So we advertised for an associate pastor in Kildare. We've been pursuing a building in South Dublin, and we've been engaging in a plan to relaunch a brand new brand and look and feel and logo and brand new website, which we hope to be able to release very, very soon. And all of that is still in the process. But then we hit a wall. We hit another set of restrictions. We followed by another great lockdown, and over the past 3 months, it's had a massive impact, not just on our church as a whole, but a massive impact on our income and our giving, particularly in our church in Kildare, in Newbridge. So this week, in the midst of all this, knowing what was the reality, but yet what God was saying, I just took some time in prayer and just sought the Lord. And I found myself in a place of great hope and great expectation, but at the same time, confusion, questioning. Not doubt, because I know what God is saying and I know it to be true, but almost like a frustration because it's not lining up with what I'm seeing physically. You ever found yourself like that? You hear God's word, you know it to be true, you know his promises, but it's not lining up from what he said to what you're seeing. And I know that God, I can say that confidently. I believe that God is preparing us for a great flood. The tide is turning. The wave is beginning to swell, particularly in our land, in Ireland. We are going to see something supernatural happen like we have never seen before. And so we've been preparing ourselves. been preparing ourselves, whether it's through online, social media, technology, whether it's through our staff, structurally, organizationally. We've been moving forward, whether that's been preparing ourselves and praying and fasting and putting ourselves out there for to see tens of thousands of people engage with our services, engage online. And we continue to pursue an expansion in Kildare by adding another pastor to care for our people. We continue to pursue a building in South Dublin that will become a permanent home for our people. And yet, facing so many restrictions financially, and yet experience this great frustration because we've not been able to gather as a church in person. So in this place, for me personally, this time in prayer, in the midst of hope and expectation and great faith, but also frustration, I came to a place where I just got on my hands and knees and I just began to pray. I began to just cry out to the Lord. And I went to my desk and I grabbed this piece of paper that I keep on my desk. And it is the names of every single person in our church who calls himself a part of Open Arms that we gathered in our last data collection, thank God, right before the lockdown kicked in back in March. And I began to pray for every individual, pray for every family. My heart began to break because I realized that my frustration has come from the fact that I miss my church. I miss our people. I miss being able to see faces. I miss our community. I miss the embrace. I miss being able to see each other, you know, one-on-one, to hear stories, to pray for each other, to worship beside each other, to hear the word together. And in this, the midst of this place of frustration, in the midst of this place of confusion, the Lord turned my attention to Colossians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. And we've been in the book of Colossians now for 7 weeks, going through Colossians. We're just finished chapter 1. But in chapter 2, as we've seen that Paul has been writing to the church in Colossae, he's been sharing his heart and his love for these people. He says in verse 1, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea. It's another church community right near Colossae. And for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they and you may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. And then these words popped up from the word. For though I am absent from you in body, though I am not with you physically, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Here he says, though we're not together in body physically, we are together in spirit and in love. So church, I want you to hear me as your pastor, as your leader. The tide is turning. There is a flood forming and there is a flood coming, a flood of great freedom and favor, a flood of the Spirit of God, a flood of the power and the presence that only comes through the Holy Spirit, a flood that will sweep through our lives and our land like never before. This is not the end. This is the beginning. It's the beginning of something new, beginning of something that we have never seen before and something great. So get ready. Be prepared. I can't stress enough to you. I know we are busy. I know we are somewhat distracted what is going on, but I want to encourage you, lift your head, see what the Lord is saying and hear what the Lord is saying and see what he's setting out in front of us. Start to pray again. Turn to the Lord. Spend time where you just switch off, put on earphones, just listen to worship music, pray, ask the Lord to fill you with his presence. Maybe you need to ask him for forgiveness. Maybe you just need to come and surrender to him again. Maybe you've fallen into sin. Maybe you've picked up old habits or new habits have formed in you that you need to surrender to him and you need to cut them out of your life. I want to encourage you, get back into the word. Get back into the Bible. Just begin reading, even a chapter a day, and let it get in you and you get in it. I want to encourage you. Commit to attending online church every week. It couldn't be easier. Not even an hour-long service. You can watch it in your pajamas if you want to. Connect with our community. We have our team online ready to connect with you. This is the time that we want to gather together as a church. If it's not the right time, hey, we got our messages on YouTube, and tune in and hear a word. Be a part of something that's greater than just yourself and just your world, but it's bigger than that, to open your mind and your eyes and to hear what God is doing even through the noise and the distraction of what the world is saying. I want to encourage you. If you stopped giving, if you stop tithing regularly, start again. Get back into the habit. Start sowing into other people's lives through the church. Now, look, I'm not worried about the finances. I sleep well every single night by God's grace. I don't have anxiety because I know, hey, this is the Lord's church. Jesus is the head of his church. He needs to provide. But I want to encourage you. He's put the provision in you to be the people, to sow into the church, to sow into the kingdom of God so that we can continue to expand. You know what? We're going to expand regardless. We're going to expand anyway because we never waited for finances or provision to come. We had a vision and we keep running. I want to encourage us together. Let's be the church and let's build the church together. So what are we going to do? Well, we've been gathering together as a team and we're going to spend these next 2 months as a staff team. You know, we've got an incredible team who put all of this together, who pour hours and hours during the week, not just into our online services, but into our community and our managing our organization financially and every facet of the organization. But we have as a staff team, we've committed to connect personally, one-on-one with every single person in our church. Every single person. And regardless if maybe you weren't a part of the data collection before lockdown, maybe you've just joined our church, we're going to connect with you. If you've given us your information through a Connect card, if you haven't, go right now to openarms.ie/connect, because we're going to connect with you. We want to hear what's your greatest need. How can we be praying for you? Right now, I've got 1,250 names here in our church, probably many, many more who have joined our church since then. And we're committing to pray for you, to intercede for you, to pray for every single individual, for you personally, for your life, that God would flood your life with the presence of God like never before, that he will send his angels as a hedge of protection around you to protect you, whether that's in your physical health, whether that's in your mental and emotional health, whether that's in your financial health or your relational health, that you will know that you have an army behind you who are with you and standing with you like never before and calling on the Lord to be with you, to go before you and to be beside you. And we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be with you. We're going to connect with you. We got some things planned over the next 2 months in which we'll even be able to send you a gift, a token of our appreciation to you. And so what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to be the church and to build the church. It's really that simple. Be the church. Let's be the church in our marriages and in our families. Let's be the church in our communities, in our workplaces, by committing to pursue Jesus and to be more like Jesus. Let's commit to build the church. Let's sow into this financially because I believe in this. I know that this is worth more than any stock or stock market, worth more than any business or organization, because it is the saving of lives for eternity. I believe that the tide is turning. The flood is forming. The waves are building. The swell is building stronger and stronger. And the Lord is going to release a flood of freedom and favor over our lives, our homes, our communities, and our land. The question is, are you going to be a part of it? Are you going to commit to be Open Arms, to build Open Arms? Are you going to be prepared for the opportunity that is about to come our way? I want to pray for us together. I want to pray for you in these next few moments. Would you just do me a favor? If you've picked back up that phone, if you've got distracted, just take a moment out, set it aside. close your eyes, whether you're watching or listening to this live or a few days after. I want to pray for you. And Lord, I pray for every single person who is watching me right now. I want to pray for every single person who is hearing these words. I pray right now that you would fill us with your presence, that you would fill us with your grace and your mercy. God, right now, I pray that you would strengthen us. Lord, I pray that those of us who may have grown stagnant, who have grown dry, who have just become so full of confusion and doubt and frustration, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us like never before. Lord, give us a confidence and a hope and a faith and an expectation to know that you are real, you are true, and you are leading us into a season like never before, that this is the year of the Lord's favor. Lord, I pray for us as a church. I pray that you will continue to be our visionary, that you continue to be our head and our leader and our provider, God. I pray, Lord, for every family in our church, every congregant in our church. Would I pray that you would pour out your freedom and favor and power and presence upon us like never before. And we all said, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I really hope that this has blessed you and encouraged you. I really feel that it is a word for you. And I want to encourage you. Let's be the church. Let's build the church together. In Jesus' name, amen.